20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome back, Packers fans, to the Pack-A-Day Podcast. Happy Saturday. Our normal trio is not totally together. Paul Brettle is out of town, so it is just myself, Jason Perrone, along with Mark Eckel. Mark, happy, well, today's Friday. Happy Friday, happy Saturday.
Yeah, you were almost by yourself today, Jason, if I didn't meet some technical problems. Hopefully we've ironed them out, so to speak.
Yeah, you're a guru, so if anybody needs computer help, Mark Eckel's
your
guy.
No, absolutely not. I don't know. I'm a writer. I don't do these things. I don't know how to use these Skypes and all this kind of crazy stuff we do. I don't know nothing. Just ask me about I can talk to you about the pack. You got Packer questions for me, NFL questions? I'm good to go.
Got it.
Computer questions, don't ask me. Ask somebody else.
You are, in fact, a writer and a damn good one. So, and on that topic, we're going to steal.
Too old for this.
Yeah, well, sometimes even I feel like that. My counterpart and co-host over Pulse of the Pack, Jake Westendorf, likes to remind everybody and me often of how old I am. So anyway.
Wait a minute. When did you start? I'm not going to ask you how old you are. I never do that. But when did you start watching? Like, give me the year or so when you start watching the Packers.
Oh, I'll share. I'm 43. I'll be 44 in about a month. And
you're old.
Yeah, I'm way out of there. Now, I started watching the Packers in the mid-80s. I think 86 was the first season I really paid attention to.
They were bad when you started.
I can claim, now I didn't suffer through the 70s and a lot of the 80s, but I can claim that I watched some crappy Packers before they got good.
Yeah, 86 wasn't good.
That was Randy Wright. Remember, we were talking about that.
Mm-hmm. Well, they got good that one year they got okay. They, I guess, was 1 year pre-Favre, they were okay, right? Well, that was what was the year that Magic wasn't bad?
89.
Okay. All right. Yeah, they weren't bad.
They should have gotten in the playoffs that year, but the damn Vikings.
Yeah, they just missed.
Yeah.
Now they would have. Not even this year. Back then, there was only five playoffs. There's only one wild card.
Yep.
So they really, you know, then I think they added them. I think after that year, because they went, you know, they won like 10 games and didn't get in.
Yeah, they went 10-6. And that was back when it was the NFC Central and the Buccaneers were in it, too.
Yep.
They were in the division.
So
they were in the division. All right. So as far as this week, the guys yesterday, Andrew and Kyle on Friday, talked about what the 2021 offseason might look like in terms of players that may or may not be back with the Packers and what the salary cap situation is going to look like. It was a nice discussion, so kudos to those guys. One of the things they talked about, we're going to drill down on today because, Mark, you wrote about it too a little bit, which is Aaron Jones, the running back, and he is kind of an interesting one to break down because there's a lot of varying takes and sides you can take on paying a running back, right?
Right.
And so those guys mentioned it, and they touched on it briefly. I just was looking up some information. We all know Jones blew the heck up in 2019. He had previously never played a full season. He played in all 16 games in 2019, so he finally was healthy for a full year. And then that equated to him eclipsing the 1,000-yard rushing mark. He had 16 touchdowns. He tied Christian McCaffrey for the league lead in 2019. And his previous high was 8 the year prior in 2018. And then he also caught 3 touchdown passes in 2019, was a lot more involved in the passing game. His production went up there from 206 yards in 2018 to 474 yards in 2019. So truly a breakout season. But now we get into that whole topic of conversation about the risk of signing running backs long term. And Mark, I don't know if we've ever had a drill down conversation on your take on that.
Oh, I'm not a running back. I don't believe in taking them early in the draft. I don't think I don't want to say they're not important, but they're not. You don't win with great running. You win with great quarterbacks and great offensive lines and great defenses. I mean, just look at some of the best running backs. And I'm talking recently. Now, don't give me Jim Brown with the Cleveland Browns or way back then. I'm talking, you know, Adrian Peterson, great running back, right? One of the greatest of our time, of recent times, right? What, he win one playoff game in his career?
Yep.
You know, Barry Sanders. Everybody says what a great running back he was, right? One. I don't think he won a playoff game.
Yeah.
No, he won one. He won one. I actually covered it. They beat the Cowboys. I mean, great running backs, you don't win with a great running back. With all that said, Aaron Jones, I hate to lose him, but again, I'm not going to pay him crazy money. And what I wrote the other day for Packer Report is and this could be good news to Packer fans, good news to the Packers, not good news for Aaron Jones and his agent, but there's a whole lot of running backs that are going to be up next. That whole class, if you remember, that Aaron Jones's draft class, right? That was considered a very deep and talented class of running backs. And for the most part, they all lived up to it or exceeded it. I mean, 30 running backs were actually taken in that draft. And Aaron Jones was the 15th out of that 30.
Yep.
On the 182nd overall pick. And he certainly has, you know, more than done what a 182nd pick should have done. But here are some of the names. Leonard Fournette was the first one taken. And the Jaguars have not picked up his fifth-year option, so he'll be a free agent.
Mm-hmm.
Christian McCaffrey was the 8th overall pick in that draft. Now, he obviously signed a gigantic contract with the Panthers just this offseason, so he won't be on the market. But he's the only one. Dalvin Cook will be up, Joe Mixon, Alvin Kamara, Kareem Hunt, James Conner, Tariq Cohen, Marlon Mack, and then a guy who was taken after Aaron Jones, Chris Carson from Seattle will be up. So, I mean, there's going to be a glut of running backs on the free agent market next year. And a lot of them are very comparable to Aaron Jones.
Yeah, they are. Well, that is helpful. It's helpful for the Packers because I would love to see Aaron Jones stay, but I'm more on the camp of beware because eventually that you get that drop off and some running backs fall off a cliff. Adrian Peterson is very much the exception, not the norm for the longevity of a career. And you mentioned Christian McCaffrey. What were you going to say about Peterson? Because it's incredible to me he's still in the league.
I know, it really is. And he's, like I said, he's a great back, but he's won one playoff game. He's been part of one playoff win in all those years, right? I mean, so as great as he is and his longevity has been great. And again, I'm not saying he's the reason his teams haven't won, but as great as he is, a running back doesn't take you anymore. You know, that's why I think Carolina's making a big mistake. As great as Christian McCaffrey is, if they don't have a better quarterback, they're not going anywhere.
Yeah, just looking at his numbers, like his cap isn't really high, but it's more the dead cap. So he's only slated to make 7.8 this season, but his dead cap is 32.7.
Right.
Not that they're not going to cut him, but then next year his cap hit bumps up to 12.5 and then 12.9 in 2022. Now, then when you get into his 2023 season, he'll be 27 years old. 16.3 million, 16.3 again in 2024, and then down to 12.2 million in 2025. And the dead cap doesn't really drop below 10 million until 2023. Now, I think Christian McCaffrey, you know, barring injury, is probably going to play the bulk of this. He just seems like a solid back.
No, he's a great back.
But you never know.
But
the case of you never know is Todd Gurley.
And the other kid, Gordon.
Melvin Gordon.
Both of them were high first round picks, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're not on the same team anymore. Both of them this year were released and went somewhere else. And I'm just saying, again, and I really want the Packers. I would like to – and, you know, Aaron Jones came out this week and said, you know, he'd love to be a lifelong Packer. And that's what you want to hear him say. And then his agent was – I think it was ESPN.com that got a hold of his agent who said, yeah, they've been talking and they're going to continue to talk. And that's good. I mean, I would love to see Aaron Jones back. And I would like to see him sign a deal with the Packers, but a team because there's other players that are very important to the Packers as well. I would like to see him sign a modest deal, not a crazy deal that would prevent them from keeping some other possible free agents like David Bakhtiari and Kenny Clark and Kevin King. Just to them, and you know, I'd rather. I think they're more important, to be honest with you.
Yeah, Bakhtiari and Clark for sure. Aaron Jones is only set to make $2.13 million in 2020. That's a steal. If he plays anything near what he did last year, Packers are getting a great value now.
And that stems from being a low round pick,
a
low pick that he was.
Yeah, right. So his final year doesn't bump up as much. So that's a benefit there. Well, just in the case of the two guys you mentioned, Gurley and Melvin Gordon. So they both Gurley got paid by the Rams. And then he didn't play out that contract, so the Rams had to eat some of that deal. He ended up only getting a 1-year deal with the Atlanta Falcons. He's only signed for 2020, and he's only making 5.5.
So so again, that's a name that I didn't. That puts him back in the market next year. That's what I think. Aaron Jones is going to. I don't know, and I'm sure his agents realize if I have this list of names, I'm sure his agents have this list of names. I mean, when the market is that crowded, it's hard for a guy to get. you know, crazy money, as opposed to if he was the only running back available next year, then it'd be a crazy bidding war. It would go out of control. But I mean, who would you rather have? Some of the guys I mentioned or Aaron Jones, Alvin Kamara or Aaron Jones.
I heard they like Kamara in that draft, but Aaron Jones already knows the offense and he's been with the team for a couple of years.
Well, no, so I don't mean for the Packers. I'm saying if you're a team looking for a running back.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to sign a free agent running back and you have your choice of, you know, Fournette, Cook, Mixon, Kamara, Hunt, Jones, Connor. I mean, again, you could pick and choose. You don't have to spend top dollar because there's so many of them. It's supply and demand.
Yeah, and these guys like Melvin Gordon actually is a perfect case of watch out agent and player. Don't overhype yourself because remember he sat out with the Chargers and then he ended up coming in and playing finally, and all he ended up getting for a second contract was a 2-year deal. So he signed with Denver for 2020 and 2021, and he's only making right now, it looks like he's going to make $7 million in 20 and $9 million in 2021, and then he's a free agent again in 2022 when he turns 29 years old.
There you go. I mean, that's not what he was expecting, obviously.
No, and that's,
and if you look at Jones's numbers compared to these other guys, Jones's career numbers at this point, he's carried the ball 450 times, mm-hmm. which is less than most of these. Matter of fact, it's less than of the top ones. It is the least. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a little more than James Conner, but that's of the top guys. That's the only one he's really less than. He's gained 2,260 yards, which is like in the middle. Now his 28 touchdowns jump out at you as a runner, and then he's caught 84 balls for 702 yards with 4 more touchdowns. So those 28 rushing touchdowns and 32 total touchdowns, that puts him behind only Christian McCaffrey. Puts him third. Alvin Kamara has 37 total touchdowns. So his total touchdowns, he's third behind McCaffrey and Kamara. His rushing touchdowns, he's first with 28, one more than Alvin Kamara. But his yards, I mean, you know, Alvin Kamara has 485 carries, so 35 more carries than for 2,408 yards.
Pretty close.
And he's also, but then he's also caught 243 passes for another 2,060 yards with 10 more touchdowns. Mm-hmm. So I think Kamara, if all these guys hit the market, I would think he'd be the most in demand. Do you agree?
Yeah, oh, he would. Yeah, Kamara would be.
Yeah.
Because he's very productive there. And Aaron Jones has benefited from not as much wear on the tires because he's been rotated in with Jamal Williams and some of those other guys, too. The Packers drafted A.J. Dillon, which to me isn't necessarily as much of a threat to Aaron Jones as I think it would be to Jamal Williams coming back maybe next year. But that's a whole year away.
Well, Williams isn't going to demand a lot of money, though.
Nope. No, of course
See,
not.
I have a, you know, the conspiracy theorist in me, or I don't know about it. Maybe I'm taking it a little too far, but having I think Dillon's going to get more work than a lot of people think this year. I think they really like him. I think he's going to, and the more work Dillon gets, it's going to keep Jones's numbers down a little, which would also keep his salary down, right?
You would think so. You would think so. And I hope you're right, because I want, as I cool off from the draft and all the confusion of it, and I think more of that had to do with, I'm along with the herd, and that a lot of it had to do with the confusion of the value of the picks. These guys might end up being really good picks, the higher ones. But Matt LaFleur's got to install his offense here. Yeah, you want to, you know, make sure Aaron Rodgers is comfortable and all that kind of stuff. Rodgers is smart. He'll figure it out. It's fine. I hope A.J. Dillon does carry the load. Now, he carried a lot in college, so he comes in with a lot of wear on himself. So the big thing is if he's healthy, he's got age on his side. I say ride the horse, and I hope that he does. I hope he makes a big impact as a rookie. That can only help the offense if you're taking a lot of pressure off of the passing game.
Yo, absolutely. I mean, I think they're – don't get me wrong. I don't think Dillon's going to supplant Jones, but I think their carries are going to be – I don't think it's going to be, you know, where Jones gets 20 carries and Dillon gets 5 in a game.
Yep.
I think it's going to be more like – If the Packers, and they're going to run the ball more, it's like, right? So if they run 35 times in a game, I think it might be 20-15 or even 20, you know, or maybe 18, whatever. And Jamal Williams still gets a couple too, maybe, you know?
Right.
I actually think Jamal Williams will be the third down back more than anything else because he is a good receiver. He's probably the best pass protector of the three. Picking up the blitz and stuff like that. So I would expect to see him mostly on third. I mean, it's a nice situation that they have with three, you know, three pretty good backs. I mean, Jamal Williams, he's not in that, he's not in Jones's category with the numbers, but you know, he runs hard. He does a lot of good things. I mean, it's a good situation, except that, you know, Jones and Williams are both going to be free agents. So a lot depends on, in my opinion, and from dealing with contracts through the years, if Jones really wants to stay, they may get a deal done prior to this, and that could be good for everybody. Then it's not. I've seen guys struggle. I mean, it works both ways. I've seen guys have great years during a contract year because they want to put up big numbers for their contract. But sometimes it plays on their head a little bit too, and they try to do a little too much, and they wind up not being as good as they can because they're not concentrating enough on the game, and they're worried about what. And I don't think Aaron Jones is that kind of guy, but you just never know how things play on you mentally.
Well, he seems pretty level-headed, and like he's just going to run the way he runs, and he's confident in his ability as he should be. He's proven that he can be very dynamic, and somebody's going to find value in him. I was just taking a quick peek at the salary cap next year. There's a lot, and the guys yesterday on Friday talked about it as well. Like, the salary cap is not a known entity for next year because we don't know if it's going to go up at all, or it could go down depending on how the revenues end up in 2020. So right now the Packers have a projected, and this is SpotTrack, they just
33 million,
but you have to assume that there's going to be an increased number for Kenny Clark, and at least Kenny Clark and David Bakhtiari. And then how much are you willing? Like, my question for you, Mark, is not to put you on the spot, but what would be the sweet spot or a number that you'd be okay with for a Jones contract? Like, average.
I want to keep it under 10 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. I'd like to get it done around 7.5.
Ooh, that would be a steal, I think. That'd be great.
I know. But again, see, what I've learned and from talking to players a lot, it's not the guaranteed money is what they care most about. Because you can give a guy a crazy, oh yeah, we gave him 5 years, 100 million, but it's all backloaded and it's not guaranteed. And guess what? He's never going to see it. Like Gurley, right? Gurley and the Rams, you know, they got rid of him.
Yep.
Before a lot of that money cashed in. So, And the Packers are very good with this. The Packers are very good at giving huge signing bonus. If you compare the Packers to other teams in terms of how they do their cap and how they work their deals, they'll put the guaranteed money in that signing bonus. And players love that because that's their money that day. No matter what happens, they're not giving. They get hurt. God forbid they get hurt and can't play. Whatever, or their play falls. That signing bonus isn't going anywhere but in the bank.
It's there.
So, yeah, they're not giving that back. So that's what, you know, if they can come up with a deal, you know, 5 years, 30-something million, 30, you know, maybe even close to 40 million, but, like, give them 20 of it in a signing bonus, he might. I know the Eagles used to do this. I remember, and I didn't get along with the front office at the time when Joe Batter was the guy. But when we did talk, he would say, like, every player has a number in their head. And if you hit that number, like you're talking about here's $20 million guaranteed in a check. We're going to give you a check for. Sometimes that's hard for, even though you know you might be able to get more sometimes, it's hard to say no to $20 million.
Well, and there's something also to be said. If it's a team that you play for already and you've got a family, like that stuff matters too, not having to move them.
Right. That's another thing too. Like players through the years, now some guys want to get out of it. If you're playing on a team that's a bad not just a bad team, but a bad organization where they're always bad and you got drafted there, but you're not happy about it and you just don't want to be there, then no. Then it doesn't matter what they offer you. You want out and you'll take a deal with another team. But it seems like Jones, I mean, for him to come out publicly and say, I want to be a lifelong Packer, that didn't help his negotiations. I mean, that was just him being honest and saying, and it seems that for the most part, and again, we're Packer fans, so it sounds like we're you know, just being fans, but I mean, I've dealt with a lot of players and a lot of teams. Packer players seem pretty happy. You know, it is a good organization, and they do kind of take care of their players for the most part. You don't hear many players complain when they do leave eventually. It's like, you know, they always thank the team. They go, well, I thank them for the opportunity, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's other than the cold weather, if you can handle that, it's a Green Bay's a pretty good place to play. I mean, there's a lot of teams way below them. If you ask players where they want to play, I think Green Bay's in the top five or six.
It's interesting because some fans have this conception that players don't want to come to Green Bay because of the lack of stuff to do. And it's just, I don't know. I grew up in Wisconsin, so I'm biased. I would never have a problem living there, and I would if I was an athlete, and I'm not. So that's another bias that I have because I'm not a professional athlete. I'd play anywhere I could, but it's
you don't have to live there all year.
Well, I was going to say to your but there's more and more guys that are some of them did, like Coons was there year round, was there year round. A lot of the guys are kind of making that their home, but you don't have to. I mean, look, here's the reality, and you can verify this, Mark, because you've covered other teams and talked to a lot of other guys. You can sit here and talk about how great Miami and Tampa are because the weather's beautiful, Carolina and L.A. and all that kind of stuff. Those guys go home, too, in the offseason. They don't necessarily stay in those beautiful cities either, right?
It's 50-50, even in Philly. Some guys stayed in Philly all year round. Some guys went back to their homes in Florida or in California or in wherever it was. It depends on the guy. A lot of times it's depending on the guy's situation. If he's single, he generally goes back to where he's, you know, because he has family and friends there. If you're married with kids, you want your, or even if you're married a lot, if you're married, you know how that works. What's your wife want to do? Does your wife want to stay in Philly or stay in Green Bay? Then you're staying in Philly or Green Bay. If your wife says, no, we're going back to where my parents live in St. Louis, and that's where you're going. I mean, that's how that works. And a lot of times when players have children, you don't want to be moving your children all over the country. So you kind of stay put sometimes. But, Green Bay's obvious. I never lived in Wisconsin. It would be a little cold for me. But again, you can have a house. You're making pretty good money. So you can buy a house in Phoenix. You can buy a house in Florida. You can buy a house anywhere, and have two residents. That's not a problem for a lot of guys. And a lot of guys do that as well. They'll keep a place where they play and then have a place where they want. But I mean, what I learned from players and when they, talking about where they want to play or where they don't want to play, winning's important, obviously. I mean, everybody wants to be on a winner. Well, Green Bay's, for the most part, has been a winning organization for the last, 30 years now or so?
Yep.
Or more. A couple of off years here and there, but for the most part, they won as many, other than the Patriots, they won a lot of games. A solid organization. The Packers, like I said, they seem to treat their players pretty well. Like I said, whether it's the signing bonuses that they give out, they seem to honor their guys a lot. Talk to Packer alumni, and you just hear. I've done a lot of stories for the NFL player site, and I have to deal with alumni sometimes. And those guys, nobody takes care of their alumni like the Green Bay Packers. It's not even close. I mean, they're number one by. I mean, it's crazy how they treat their guys.
To your point, look how many guys are still sticking around in Green Bay doing radio. Leroy Butler, Gilbert Brown, yeah, John Kuhn has his podcast with Jason Wilde. All those guys are still very connected and they're willing to come back. And that speaks volumes with a couple of exceptions. Obviously, we all know Greg Jennings had his thoughts and feelings when he left, but then he wanted to come back too. So yeah. it's a good organization. And that's not to say that I think that Aaron Jones is necessarily going to take a discount per se to play in Green Bay, but what you said earlier, and I think there's a lot of credence to your point, which is, listen, don't, to agent and player, don't overdo yourself, because we've seen it backfire with some really high powered guys in the past, Gurley and Melvin Gordon being the most recent ones, where they didn't necessarily get the money that they wanted. They're still getting paid very handsomely, but they're not getting anywhere near the kind of money that they wanted. And did they really have to change teams? In Gurley's case, there was an injury in there. He might not have had a choice. But I think Melvin Gordon, in his case, I think he kind of overplayed his hand.
Well, here's a question for you, too. I mean, I'm sure there's some. You're going to tell me, oh, yeah, that guy. Okay, there's one or two. But how many running backs have switched teams and did better for their second team? I, off the top of my head, I really can't think of one.
No.
I'm sure there's somebody. I'm sure there's one of our listeners will come up with, is listening to us now saying, oh, what about some? And I'm sure there is. But for the most part, I mean, I can think of a bunch of them that didn't do as well.
Marshall Faulk is the only one I can think of.
And he was traded.
Yeah, that's true.
That's a little different. Yeah. He was traded. He was still at his, but yeah, he did good both places. But yeah, he did better with the Rams, obviously.
He had more years with the Rams too, but they won the Super Bowl and they were the greatest show on turf. But yeah, that was a trade. That wasn't him leaving.
I mean, but like, there's so many that went other places and kind of just, you know, even recent, like, you know, you think Le'Veon Bell's going to do as well with the Jets as he did with the Steelers?
Never. And even Adrian Peterson, he's still playing, but he has never been as good as he was in Minnesota.
No. And there's more. I mean, Eddie Lacy had some good years, but now he kind of ate himself out of the league a little bit, but he was terrible in Seattle. Mm-hmm. Right? I guess Marshawn Lynch is one.
Yeah.
He probably did as well in Seattle. Although he was pretty good in Buffalo, but he probably did better in Seattle. At least the team did better.
Yeah, he blew up in Seattle. That was big, and they won. And of course, they also won a championship. Right. And
but he was good. It's not like he was bad in Buffalo.
Well, when you pay a big running back, anytime you pay a player premium dollars, there's going to be a trickle down in some other players that you can't keep. So the Packers hopefully have their list of guys. Like, I think two names that are going to be really interesting to watch going into the 2021 season are Corey Linsley and Kevin King, because I'm split 50-50 on whether or not the team even attempts to bring either one of them back.
See, King, I would go to King now. And I wrote this a couple weeks ago about the five big free agents. King right now doesn't have a lot of leverage, right? He's been hurt. I think when he's played, he's been very solid. But the problem is he's missed a lot of time. So I would go to him now with a decent but not crazy deal by any means. You know, I'd look at what other corners of his ilk are making and say, hey, listen, this is what we're going to give you. And if I'm him, I got to think about taking it, because if he goes out this year and gets hurt again, guess what? Nobody, he's getting a 1-year minimum deal from, you know, a prove it deal.
Right.
So that's a guy you might be able to get. Again, depending on what the coaching staff and general manager and front office think of him, if they think, you know, he does have a bright future, and if he can get over the injury bug, yeah, go to him with a fair but team friendly deal. And he's the one guy that doesn't have leverage, I don't think, because of his injury situation the last couple of years.
Well, and I have to wonder what he and his agent think, because everyone's going to try to beef up what they did, and he had a really good 2019 season. So do they necessarily agree? From a money standpoint, they'll probably really try to highlight that performance and say, well, when he plays a full season, this is what he can do, and health is just something that's completely out of our control and totally unpredictable.
Again, corner to me is a very important position. We've seen so many bad corners here. I would like to keep King and Alexander together for the foreseeable future. I think if they can get a deal done with King that doesn't ruin the cap and blow it up, and you have Alexander, well, that's a big load off Mike Pettine's mind that he had, at least, you know what I'm saying, and the team. Because good corners aren't, they don't fall off trees.
You and I lived through Ahmad Carroll, and I know a lot of our listeners did too. So
Carroll Buckley
cannot be overstated. And that was an interesting case. I think the Packers had Buckley when he was the least emotionally mature in his life, and then he got his act together and actually did okay when he went to he went to New England, right? Or did he go somewhere else first?
I thought he went to Miami. Am I wrong?
Might have been in Miami, but he played in New England for a while too.
But the sad part was they took him over Troy Vincent.
Which, if you know anything about Packers fans, when they pass on a Badger,
Wisconsin guy, right? Yep.
So,
I mean, you know, Troy went to 6 Pro Bowls and was a model citizen and everything else. I mean, that was just a but Ron Wilson, the Hall of Fame. So.
Well, look what Troy Vincent is still doing today.
Exactly.
I'm a huge advocate of, and I'm pretty sure if you look back at the scouting reports on him back in the day, there was probably some decent comments made about how well-spoken, mature, intelligent he was, and that's an intangible that a lot of times doesn't become too enough of the conversation when you talk about a player. There's been so many guys that have had tons of ability, like I'll use Jamarcus Russell as an example. Dude could not pick up the pro game mentally at all.
No, and yeah, I mean, that was, again, I'm just saying that, you know, everybody makes mistakes in the draft. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Ron Wolf's a Hall of Famer, but he made a terrible mistake in that draft taking Buckley over Vincent. But that's my point. Where we're getting back to corners as opposed to running backs. I think you get running back, they kind of do fall off trees. I mean, Aaron Jones fell off a tree. He was a fifth round pick out of UTEP. He's not supposed to be this good,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
But he is. You know, Carson, who Seattle got, they got him after Jones. They got him with the 249th pick. He's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you can get. That's why, like, I would never. I can't say never, but I wouldn't take a running back in the first round. That's why I thought Dylan went a little high in the second round.
Yeah, running backs are going to be abundant for the foreseeable future, and the reality is, as much as we love Jones and everything that he's done, the Packers are going to have options to bring somebody in, whether they draft them, and you don't even have, like you said, you don't have to go in round one. There's just a lot of
two or three.
Yep. It's still an avenue for guys to break into the league, and even though we're not seeing as many running backs get second contracts, you wonder eventually when kids coming up are going to say, you know what, I don't want to go in as a running back because I'm only going to have a chance to play 4 or 5 years in the NFL. If I switch to receiver or defense or something else, maybe I can play longer. So, but it's going to be a while before we see that drop off. So they're going to have their choice.
I agree. That's why if I'm Jones, I'm thinking, and if he really does like it in Green Bay, and he likes the coaching staff, and that's the thing too. You got to be happy. I mean, players, money. Hey, listen, the money's going to be good. The money's going to be good no matter. I mean, it's not like Green Bay's going to offer him a minimum contract. They're going to get offer millions and millions, a bunch of millions up front. So I mean, and let me say this too. I mean, the cost of living in Wisconsin. And Green Bay, Wisconsin isn't what it is in Los Angeles or New York or Philadelphia, right? I mean, so that money spends a little more. That's a consideration. I know a lot of guys like, that's why the Florida team, they don't have the state tax. That makes a big difference sometimes with players. But you got to be happy. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, of course you want to make money and take care of your family and whatever else, but you got to be in a situation, he seems to like it. He really does. And he seems to be well liked by his teammates, by the staff. Again, I think all that plays in.
Yeah, it definitely does, as it should. If you've got a family, that's going to be an important factor in having.
And he just had a son, right?
Yeah,
Aaron Jr. was just born a couple weeks ago.
You know, I don't know.
Yeah, I think he said that during that conference call that he did with the Raiders earlier in the week.
Well, there you go. So, Packers fans, there's one more thing to cling Aaron Jones on to Green Bay. Well, his agent said there's been discussions and there will be more.
Yep.
I don't know how robust those conversations have been, but at least they're talking. Whereas we've seen the Packers not talk to any guy. Like, Micah Hyde is an example. Like, some of those guys that never – Blake Martinez, never heard a word from the team, and that's obviously – a sign that the team's got other plans.
Exactly. And the fact that they're still talking means that one side didn't tick off the other side. I mean, it's not like the Packers offer, the Packers' number was so low that his agent said, forget this, we're not even going to talk to him. And it's not like Jones's number was so high that the Packers said, well, no, we're going nowhere near that number. So they're probably, I'm sure, they always, listen, the agent always starts high and the team always comes in low, but If the window isn't that big, it can close and you can come to a deal. If I've seen negotiations where they weren't even close, and so you just know it's not getting done. Because the player values himself like he should be the top three paid in the league, and the team is saying, listen, we think you're good, and we don't think you're that good. So they don't get.
Yeah, we've seen that happen before too. I don't foresee the Packers tend to keep it clean. So I believe that there's been good conversations, but I mean, who knows what's going to come out of it. But the burning question mark is: have you gotten to 33 yet in your number ranking for all time Packers? And no, okay,
where are you? I've only done to 1 through 19.
All right. So are there any surprises that you're willing to talk? I mean, have there been any that you think the fans would look at and say, oh yeah, or they would maybe disagree with?
You know what? Well, 1 through 9 was. There wasn't. I don't think there was any arguments, to be honest. What I'm doing though, I'm doing this cold. I do 10 at a time, and I look them up as I do them, and I pick them. I'm learning some that are pretty interesting. Like that, only one player ever wore number one for the Curly Lambeau.
Hmm.
How about that?
Okay,
only one player ever wore number one. So that was, that was a pretty easy pick. How about this one, Bart Starr, my favorite player of all time, number 15, right?
Mm-hmm.
And obviously he was my number 15. Do you know he actually wore number 16 when he got his first year? He wore number 16.
I didn't know that.
No, but yeah, I didn't think anybody knows that. I'm not sure he ever played in a game with it, but he was originally assigned number 16. So, I mean, there were some easy, like Favre, 4 was easy, Favre and Horning at 5. They were pretty simple. There was something, 19 was kind of tough. And I gave it to Bill Schroeder, who wore 19 early on and then switched to 84 because there really wasn't any other 19.
I didn't know he wore 19. That's interesting.
Yeah. He wore it his first two or three years. I guess he had to wait. He eventually became, 84?
Well, I'm glad he wore 19. He would have never made your list with 84, I can tell you that.
No, he wouldn't. Or 80, whatever. He's with 87. I forget what number he switched to. But
84, yeah.
My guess is, when he got there, he was an undrafted guy, so he just took a number And the number he wanted was being, that happens a lot. You know, players come in from college, wherever, and they have a number they want, but if a veteran has it, they're not getting it. Unless you're, you know, number one top pick or something. But even then, sometimes you have to wait. Reggie White, and people don't realize this, Reggie White's first year in Philly, he wore 91.
Okay.
He didn't become 92 till the next year. And again, somebody must have had 92, and Reggie, who never won, he didn't cause waves. He said, all right, I'll wear 91. And again, whoever wore 92 wasn't around the next year. Reggie said, okay, give me 92. And he got retired by two different teams.
Yep. Yeah, I remember William Henderson changed numbers.
Yeah.
He was 35, and then he switched to, or was he 30? And then he switched to 33.
Yep. I think 30 to 33, right? Or was the other way around? I don't remember which one was first now.
Yeah.
But I'll be doing the 20 this week, 20 to 29. I have looked at it. There'll be a lot of the two topics we kind of talked about today. There'll be some running backs on there and some defensive backs on there.
Naturally. Makes sense.
So.
Awesome. Good stuff. Well, we'll do this again in another week. Look forward
Paul
to.
Paul will be back with us next week, hopefully.
Paul will be back with us next week and look forward to what we're gonna chat about. I know we've got some ideas. We won't tease too much here, but you can find Mark's great work over at Packer Report as always. And I every once in a while make an appearance at Dairyland Express. So
there you go.
That's where you can find our stuff. Mark, right. Enjoy the rest of the weekend, and we will talk to you guys real soon. As always, go Pack, go.